The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Show, everyone. Happy to have you back. I'm here with Harry Campbell. Harry, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
You're the author of Get Real Leadership. Tell us about getting real.
Well, it's a recently published book that's been a labor of love, and I'm fired up to have it out there. In fact, that's the way I approach the jobs I've had, whether they've been in big or small companies. It's really about being authentic and real in order to lead effectively.
Well, you sound like you have an authentic, real voice, for starters, and that's probably part of being a good leader. Tell us a little bit about your background and what inspired you to write the book.
Well, thanks for that. I think it comes from being a Hoosier, but maybe not. I'm not sure. My accent isn't as cool as yours. My background is rather interesting. I'm a liberal arts major. I was a history major at Vanderbilt, went and got an MBA, and then I've worked in a mixture of Fortune 500 and small companies. I spent 7 years and grew up at Procter & Gamble in marketing, then went into telecom, quit the big world, the big corporate world, was a co-owner of a sports marketing firm for a while that was an award-winning one here in Kansas City. Then I was a CEO of an internet startup. Then I went back to big companies. So I've kind of done a range of things in a different bunch of industries also.
Tell us about the distinction between a good leader and a bad leader.
Well, I think probably the simplest thing I can say is it's in the eyes of the beholder and the culture and the environment you create. But to me, it's very simple. It has to do with servant leadership. Your job as a leader is to make the folks that work for you make their job easier. And if you get that backwards, I think you're not going to be as successful. I learned that directly during my 2 years I spent in Northwest Arkansas. I got a chance to be around Sam Walton, which was an extraordinary experience for someone that's early in their career, and I saw him operate, and servant leadership was critical to him. And I think that's one of the distinguishing characteristics of success.
You mentioned service leadership. Is that what you describe? How you describe it?
Servant leadership.
Servant leadership. Oh, even better. Can you flesh that out a little bit more and describe to us what you mean by servant?
Sure. And by the way, I've had 24 bosses in my career, and they've been a mixture of great to bad. And so when I talk about servant leadership, it really means people that look at their org, their business, the people that are around them and say, how can we be successful? How can I make the people that work for me better, more successful, more effective, maybe even happier if that's the right way to go, and therefore move forward as an org? If you think of it the other way and you look at the people are serving you as a leader, I think the energy in an organization is going to be internal as opposed to external versus the competition like it should be.
And So this is really interesting, by the way. I'm a leader of a company, a small startup.com company. Unlike you, I've had very few bosses, strangely enough, in my life, like only about five or six. I don't know if that's a good, I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure what that did to my learning curve as far as, you know, being a good leader. But, you know, where do people go to learn to be a leader? I mean, how are these skills learned, and is that part of the problem we're experiencing now?
I think it is a problem. Simple answer is multifaceted. You can go to training classes. That'll help a little. You can reflect back on who you've seen that has influenced you and mentored you to try to figure out what works for you. You can read books. You can get after it in a business and learn from your mistakes and your successes. I think any of those work. I think at the end of the day, what you have to do is you have to ask yourself, what's my personality, what's the business I'm in, and how can I mesh these things together to be successful? I probably the most important thing I would say, Byron, is that leadership and or leading is a job, not a skill set. And I think the peers that I've seen that looked at it as one of the skills they had were mistaken. If you have a group and you don't define leadership as your job, I think there's a good chance you're not going to be as effective as you should be.
So let's go over some of the characteristics of what good leaders really bring to the table. Could you define some characteristics for us?
Sure. In my book, Get Real Leadership, what I do is I lay out three different areas that you need to focus on, and within those, a couple of different things each. And the areas I look at are leading yourself. I think that's a foundational aspect of anything, whether you think of it as integrity, your personal brand, how you operate. Leading yourself is critical. The second one I look at is leading your people. And by the way, they don't have to work for you to be an influencer or a leader. They can be peers of yours or even your boss. And the third one is leading your business, and it has to do with really truly understanding your business, your competition, your goals. And I think if you look at all three of those, yourself, your people, your business, you have a much better chance of being effective.
How do we really come to understand ourselves, you know, leading yourself? What's the benchmark we compare ourselves against? How do we determine if we're doing a good job as a leader for our team members? What's the criterion? Can you dive into the self-analysis a little bit more and how you explain people how to do that?
I'd love to. And it also is one that's very difficult because it involves some very fact-facing truth-finding. And the best way to do it in my mind, and this is the way I lay it out in the book, is to find the seven words that describe you. You have the seven that you believe describe you. The people around you would have a different list. And my supposition is the most important thing you can do is find out what the world thinks of you in those seven words. You don't need sentences, and you don't need babble, and you don't need patting on the head. What you need is real words that describe you, and then you match those up with what you believe you have. The gap is important. Maybe you're very self-aware. But at the end of the day, that helps you understand whether you're leading effectively and whether you have a chance, I think, to be as effective as possible.
Hmm. What would be examples of words that you would like to hear if you were polling your employees?
Well, I think if you are, let's say you are a leader and you're in a job that doesn't require you to do day-to-day operations, you might want to be seen as a visionary. You might want to be seen as curious because you ask questions and you try to probe and you try to find out things. There's no simple answer for that. I think it's more important that you understand what you want and how you are as opposed to try to be somebody else and figure out what other people think of you. Because frankly, Byron, if you think of yourself as a visionary leader and your organization thinks of you as a micromanaging ninny, that's a problem.
I want to, because you're such an authority in this topic, I want to throw something out at you and have you react to it if that's okay. I've always believed that there are four types of people and characteristics, in this case, animals that you need that are essential to run a business: a bear, a rabbit, an owl, and a turtle. your bear is your manager, you know, my way or the highway sort of mentality. Mm-hmm. Your accountant is your turtle. In order to get X, you need Y, and Y to get Z. Your owl is your source of wisdom that you can go to for answers. And your rabbit is all over the place. Their desk is a mess, but they're a source of energy and ideas and vision for the future. What are your thoughts on that? And can you be a leader in each of these animal types?
Wow. I've never actually heard that explanation, but it's fascinating to me. As you were saying it, the first thing that came to mind is that there's always going to be a combination. I think all these have, even when the you gave me the explanation of what each one meant beyond just the animal, it's fascinating. I think it depends on the job, the culture, the industry, and the people that are working with you. I would say in many instances, the people that are working in an organization look to a leader. And let's say it's an organizational leader with actually a defined person on top. I think they really need that owl and wisdom. for the long term and the medium term, but they also need energy in the short term. And the other two are pretty critical, because if you don't do them right, you're not going to have a business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite interesting to think about those four dynamics, but you're zoning in on something which I want to talk next, which is, you know, leading your people. What are the needs of your people? And that changes tremendously within an organization as well. You know, newer organizations don't typically have structure. They don't have, you know, sort of a methodical approach to the business. They don't really know what works and what doesn't work. It's shooting from the hip. It's creative. It's fun. But they, in fact, need a leader that can bring structure to the table, that can bring, you know, that can solve problems, that's been through this before. You know, that's a much different type of leader that you need, rather than maybe a flat organization that's a large organization that is really, you know, not dynamic and not exciting and doesn't encourage people to be daring or creative and feels like it's just a humdy-dum 9-to-5, not a lot of creative energy. That's where you might need a leader that's more of an idea person, more of a source of energy for you, somebody that can inspire you to do things differently and to think differently and to solve problems differently. You know, leadership is tough to generalize about. I guess that's my question in the end of everything. Do you agree with that? And as a leader, do you therefore need to be modular and change your leadership style depending upon what's going on with the company?
Amen, and I agree 100%. There's no such thing as a formulaic answer to this question. One of the best things I ever did, and by the way, I didn't do it thoughtfully. It just happened, as many big decisions in our lives go. I went from a Fortune 400 company to co-owner of a 25-person company to an internet startup. The difference in leadership needs, styles, and effectiveness were wildly different. Mm. Procter & Gamble looked to me to keep the ship in order and move the ball down the field. And in the internet world, I was trying to raise big money, get nice valuations, and get the business off the ground and make it hum and change the business model on a monthly or quarterly basis if necessary. Those are wildly different.
So let's just take a quick break, actually, and when we come back, we want to take on some of the real exciting challenges with leadership, and that is to really look at how great leadership can affect your business, which is the last thing I want to get to and with you, and really see how that can really be the catalyst for change. Back in a minute, everybody.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS, text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I signed us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text RADIO to 21691. That's RADIO to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
How far do your ads reach? You don't have to fly around the world for the right consumers and clients to find your business. What you need is profit through performance. Location 3 Media helps you to increase your brand's findability and performance. Let Location 3 Media help you create efficient and effective online marketing campaigns that fit your needs and get you results. We know every click starts a journey. Where will your brand be on the path? Visit Location3Media.com.
Superior affiliate offers, superior affiliate brands, superior affiliate service, the Superior Affiliate Management. Superior Affiliate Management delivers direct, exclusive offers with weekly payouts. Their mission is to ignite your e-commerce and ignite your commissions. Superior Affiliate Brands means our work with the internet retailers top 500, as well as new brands, thanks to their full service agency and CPA network. Superior Affiliate Service means lifetime bonus referrals and personal VIP treatment. When you hear Superior Affiliate Offers, Superior Affiliate Brands. Superior Affiliate Service. That's SAMOPM.com.
Podcasting at the speed of sound. Webmasterradio.fm. The Flamethrower.
Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm back with Harry. Pleasure to have you, everyone, back. Appreciate you listening in. Harry, welcome back.
Thank you.
We had some good laughs there on the break. It's too bad we weren't recording that. But anyway, back at you. So let's dive into the effect that great leadership can have, probably formally on people, I guess, your employees, but also on the business. Let's dive into the people aspect first, because I think that's where the difference can probably be made. Tell us about how you've seen actual results from, say, modifying leadership ability and making it better, and then seeing what impact that has on people and performance.
Very fair and cool question. I can directly tell you that maybe 4 years out of school and into my work career, I got a chance to be around Sam Walton, and he was the first leader I'd ever seen that was incredibly nice and fair, and the people loved him, and at the same time, he was extraordinarily competitive. He wanted to win. He was hard on the business. He was very objective. Seeing that combo of things was exciting to me, because then I realized you can do both, and having that combo and having someone that I saw as an influencer made a difference to me and made me realize you can do both.
Hmm. And when you, and now three of my words, my question here is going to relate to these three words and the perception that employees have. And it probably relates to Sam Walton. And it actually comes from my wife. She runs global sales for a telecommunications company, and her motto is always, firm, fair, and friendly. that's what she believes is a catalyst for her success and rising up the ranks and being consistent with that. What's your thought on that? And tell us how that relates to a Sam Walton. What are the words that you would describe Sam Walton's leadership ability and why was that so impactful on you and other people?
Byron, I'm incredibly impressed by the three words your wife chose, and those wouldn't be normal ones that people that have been wildly successful in business choose, especially the idea of friendly. No one's going to argue with firm or fair. I love that. I think Sam embodied that. I watched him operate, and by the way, the company called him Mr. Sam when I was around and watched him in meetings and saw him operate. What he expected was that that people were going to give their best, they were going to step up, they were going to compete, they were going to do everything they needed to do to win, but their internal energy was going to be low. They were not going to have to worry about infighting and bickering and company politics. They were going to try to figure out externally how to win. And if you can nail those things, and I think firm, fair, and friendly, I've not used those words, but your wife has three very good words. It enables the energy to be outside against the competition toward victory instead of yakking around internally.
Interesting. Now, energy.
I actually talk about this in terms of percentage. I say you have to, as a leader, try to minimize the amount of energy that is going internally. We're human. Some is going to happen. Let's say it's 4 or 5%. But if you can get 95% externally and focused and get the team together and rowing in the right direction, in the correct direction, you're going to win.
So let's now talk about just that, winning, and the impact that great leadership can have on business. In your experience with 24 bosses, God help you, that's just incredible. you saw some winners and you saw some losers. But when you had that leader that constantly and probably consistently displayed great leadership ability, what impact did it have on the business, and was it the catalyst for success and growth?
Yes, it was the catalyst, and it led to wild success. What it did was it set us free, and I try to do this with my folks too. I firmly believe that a great boss who has all the skills you talked about, let's say a mixture of the four animals and maybe even the three words your wife has, at the end of the day, if they're really good at what they do and they have servant leadership and they say, you, I need your help and you can do this, you'll want to go to war with them and for them. You won't be bickering about it. You won't be complaining about it. And what I've seen is that leads to people being more creative. That leads them to giving more time and energy and a better effort because they know that it's going to be rewarded and they don't have to do it. They're doing it voluntarily. And the more you can get out of people like that, the more you're going to have a chance to win.
I have I want to run by a checklist of some of the things that we've done in a small entrepreneurial organization here, and just didn't think we're barking up the right tree. My three words, by the way, just on a funny side note, are firm, fair, and fun. Actually, I throw fun in, and an example of that is we have a 60-foot-long whiteboard, which we call the idea board. In our company, and we invite all employees once, you know, throughout the course of each month to go up and write things on the board that are fun, creative ideas based upon primarily customer service and technology and our software and cool stuff like that that's part of our parent company, idealaunch.com. But in the center of this whiteboard, we have a Nerf ball set up, complete with this, like, custom backboard that we cut that's kind of like this funky plastic stuff. So we gather there, we talk about ideas, we play Nerf basketball, we play pig, we play games, it's a lot of fun. But because our parent company's Idea Launch, now we've taken this concept of ideas and made it the centerpiece, and our companies are really excited about it. Matter of fact, when I leave this interview, I'm going to go hear about some new idea that one of our several of our employees were brainstorming, and they want to patent this thing. So I'm about to go hear what we may want to end up filing a patent on if all craziness happens. But what about that? What you know, you talked about energy. You know, are we barking up the right tree? Is that part of leadership? You know, are we barking up the right tree?
My answer to that is simply yes. I would say 100%. And once again, this is my answer, and I outline these things in my book, Get Real Leadership.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, I believe that if you create the right environment where people enjoy it, they trust the boss has their back, they know they have to do a good job. You can't get away with not. It's crap to think you can. But if the boss has your back, the expectations are high, the support's there, the fun is there, I am telling you, you get 5, 10, 15 extra percent from people. They can't give more than 100. You got to get as close as you can. I am convinced that that leads better people to want to come. So as a leader, you get to choose better people. It helps your retention on the people you want to keep. And I think the competition has a tough time keeping up because you've got success going for you.
You know, it's funny. You'd love. I could talk with you all afternoon to make a long story short. But you know, a lot of this is really the structure of the business, and I want to give you a good example of that, and let you comment on it, because I think it's really quite interesting. Again, imagine this in like 1 minute or less. Idea Launch's parent company, we used to do a lot of full-service content work before we launched our do-it-yourself platform called Writer Access. We did a lot of full-service agency work. We had this whole separate group of editors and SEO specialists and this whole separate group of sales and marketing people. And when the sales and marketing people won a big job, like a $100,000 job for, you know, a Fortune 500 company, they were all excited. They were going to make commission. Everything was great. You know,
sure.
but the editorial department was like depressed, like, great for you, maybe. I've got a ton more work to do over here, right? So the atmosphere was very, not negative, but it was a challenging atmosphere. And as a leader, I battled this for like 3 or 4 years, you know, trying to make everybody happy. Well, we made a decision in the company to put all our eggs into this new platform called Writer Access, to take all those high-maintenance, full-service customers and move them into this do-it-yourself platform, where all of our team members are now part of customer service and marketing and making sure that all of our customers are happy with the writers that they choose, the editors they choose, that are all freelance now. But what happened was a massive paradigm shift. Everyone now rose together. The company itself is a much different DNA. It's like all of us trying to make all customers happy. The atmosphere is better. To give you an idea, I used to have four editors. I now have one editor doing what those four people were doing, right? But they're more of an orchestrator of other editors that are freelance editors rather than having four in-house editors. So one person replaced four, and then other people were added around supporting the customer service needs along with that one editor. So the whole vibe changed. What that enabled our company to do is to re-architect the way we manage our workflow, the way we lead our company. Now we're a customer service driven organization with the whiteboard and people bringing ideas to it's a completely different company. It's amazing. But what are your comments on that related to your book and leadership? Could you comment on that, you know, how business does really greatly affect your ability to lead and what you need to do as a leader? Could you comment on that?
Yes, I can. First of all, I would say congratulations. I got goosebumps just listening to what you did and how you did it. you captured the essence of the energy of people. People want to be they want to know where they're going with a company. They want to feel like they make a difference, and they want to be on a team. I am absolutely, positively convinced of that. And if you get that energy right, going in the right direction, and have everybody cheering, and you minimize the internal animosity, you have a chance for wild, blessed success. I am impressed with what you did. I've had scenarios not exactly like that, but similar, and you have to address it. One of the hardest things to do as a leader is ask the questions that are out there and people aren't willing to ask because they're scared or they're worried, or frankly, they don't even know how to word it. You figured out the problem, you solved it, and I'm guessing that your tilt to the northeast went more vertical as a result of it, and it's more fun!
It is more fun, and what's been really interesting is the growth track of the company, right? We were stuck in for three or four years, it was really hard for us to grow the business. You know, we were stuck with a small pool of 50 customers. It was really hard to make these customers happy. You know, we were stuck. That's the only way to describe it. But we opened it up. We went from 50 customers to 2,000 customers in eight to 10 months. Okay. Unbelievable. Wow. Remarkable. It's insane. And we were able to do it because we re-engineered what we wanted to be, for starters. And we did this as a group. You know, there were some tough executive decisions that had to be made, obviously, with major risk. When we first made this decision, we were doing a very small percentage of our business was with this do-it-yourself platform. When I say small, 20%. And
well,
so,
Byron, I would have followed you if you were doing that, because what you're doing is you're creating some meaning for me. You're creating an environment I want to work in. You're giving me a chance to succeed and therefore to celebrate. That's what people want. I would describe it as very simple. I would say you have the ability to get real, and I don't mean that tritely. It is amazing when you can get real and be authentic and create that kind of environment. You're going to win.
It's funny because your words "get real" are kind of spot on, in the sense that we had to get real both with ourselves, with our company, with our employees, with our team members. So you spot on. It really is get real. What's the biggest pain point that you think people get from your book? Kind of a wake up call, Harry. Tell us a little bit about that. What's the aha, moment? Do you think that people are going to find in your wonderful book here?
I think that I'm going to give you two answers, and they're very simple. First of all, is that relationships and results can both be had, and they can be wildly successful at the same time. And I want people to understand that. You don't have to have a drab, dour environment in order to win. Fun can win. Fun isn't just frivolous. Fun can win. The second one really is that anybody can be a leader. I love talking to individual contributors who are trying to influence and impact their group, their business, their boss, their not-for-profit, their social club, And at the end of the day, they realize if I do some of these things and try to figure out how to lead myself, my people, and my business, and think about these things very well and operate well, I can be a leader, and it doesn't have to do with what my dang job is and who's on the org chart with me. Everybody can be a leader.
Mm. As we close out here, I want to challenge you on the concept of respect. You know, how important is it for a leader to, you know, A, command respect, B, how do they earn respect?
Well, first of all, it's absolutely critical. If I would start with something, I would say respect first, followed very quickly by, I'll call it fun or enjoyment or likability. Because 15, 20 years ago, I had a boss that I really liked, but after 3 or 4 months, it was obvious that I wasn't going to respect him, because he didn't have the ability to do the job as well as he should. And by the way, that means I want to go to a party with him, maybe have a beer with him, but I don't want to be in his org. Mm-hmm. You have to respect them. They have to have that. Now, I think if you combine respect with likability, then you've got the double magic, and it sounds like you've got that. Sounds like your wife's got that. And if people can do that and recognize that that's possible, I think they can win. That, to me, is huge. You cannot win without respect. Otherwise, it is a short-term positive. It's too much about likability and not enough about winning.
Yeah, super fine balance there, and I'm sure you fleshed that out. Tell me one more thing, and that is reward. You know, is it critical to reward your employees? Do you do it consistently? Do you show preference and greater reward for people that are performing better? Tell us the magical mix that we need to be thinking about with regards to reward. And reward is not just money and paying people more money, of course, right? But talk with us about reward.
I love talking about that. Yeah. Yes, you need to make sure you differentiate rewards so that people that are top performers understand that they're going to be rewarded differently than people that aren't. I think that's critical. I actually have found in the last 15 years that I'm going to use the term recognition is as important and many times more important than reward. And recognition can be public attaboys. It can be a crazy shirt that I've created and I talk about in my book that I give to the person with the best attitude. It can be simple notes, public and private. If you can do that right, you can recognize people. That pumps them up, makes them realize their value, then they charge forward. Reward has to be in place. It has to be fair. And then you can recognize, and the combination between the two can be magical.
Hmm. There are some interesting technology platforms out there. I forget the name of one that I stumbled across that allow fellow employees to choose points that are given to certain employees that are, you know, doing things exceptional or extraordinary performance or, you know, freakishly amazing displays of talent or, right? And so people get these points and then they can turn their points in for like a massage or a spa treatment or whatever. What's your take on that type of approach to reward, sort of peer-to-peer reward type of point structure? You know, does that make it fun? Does that help elevate and motivate people? What's your take on that?
I'm generally supportive of that, and I think it can work. I think just like anything else, the people that are in charge, let's say to the leader of a group, has to make sure that it doesn't become a cynical thing that I'm doing something for you, you're doing it for me, so we can both get points. I don't think people tend to go that way in general, but you have to know your org to do that. It works. The way I created it was I just had people send me notes. Even as a president, I think the biggest group I had was 3,500 people. I would have people email me with folks that have a great attitude. I always was going to find out when people did great work. Mm-hmm. It was hard for me to find out when people had a great attitude and were somebody you wanted to be around, and I wanted to know about that so I could recognize them in front of folks. So in some ways, having the boss do it and the nominations come up, which is similar to what you talked about, but it wasn't a point system, nominated to me and in front of an all-hands meeting recognize someone for a great attitude, I think that's just as powerful.
Indeed. Well, listen, we've really enjoyed having you on the show, Harry. Who do you want to get a hold of you, and how do you want them to get a hold of you, Harry?
Well, I would love for folks to come to harryscampbell.com. That's S as in Sam in the middle, harryscampbell.com. And if they want the opportunity to read Get Real Leadership, it's available on Amazon.
And it's CAMPBELL, just so everybody knows.
Yes, just like the soup.
Got it. And the book is Get Real Leadership. Who published the book, by the way, Harry?
I self-published it with Amazon, and it was an extraordinarily easy thing to do, and I loved it, and I would recommend it to anybody.
Terrific. And that's terrific. Well, listen, we really appreciate you being on the show today, and I have about 200 more questions for you, but we'll have to save those for another time. But it's been really great having you on the show, Harry. Thanks very much.
Byron, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you.
Indeed. Until next week, everybody, I hope your life's a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Thanks to Harry. Get real and get real leadership. Thanks, everyone, for listening in.